Sorry. Anyway, what I was saying about like real life church sites not always being like the easiest people to do it.
Well, because they certainly have a lot of personalities, right? I mean, hey, calm down, sweetie. It's because Rose is outside, I think. I think we're upset. I think, like, who's a good an example of someone? Teresa Lisieux actually is probably a good example of someone who was not very beloved by her sisters, but is also now a doctor of the church. She died very young. And she, one of her responsibilities in the community was to care for folks who were in retirement in general and not so long, which is a very thankless profession in some ways, right? Like, not everyone can do that. But she also, just didn't always get along with
people. And so St. Teresa's sisters probably felt like martyrs sometimes themselves.
Yeah, because they had to deal with her.
What are you doing over here?
We're just being... We need our second nap. We've had a funny schedule today, to be honest.
Yeah. It's been unusual.
Or even Catherine of Siena, who's another doctor of the church. We've been talking about her recently. Because she's often touted as like a woman with... A temper is not the right word, but like someone who exercised her authority. She was a lay woman. You know, she wasn't religious. We're not going to do this. She's credited with convincing the Pope to move back to Rome. Like, because there were two papacies that, like, there was a lot of corruption. There were all the terrible things going on. There's a lot of polarization, like, similar to now in some ways. And she had a very strong personality, but, like, she believed in doing what was right, and speaking the truth in love was kind of, like, her phrasing, and she's supposed to be, like, a doctor of wisdom, too, right? Like, that was a particular charism given to her, and she always felt like, she's kind of, like, it's kind of like people who will, like, get in the way of folks who want to do what they want. And they kind of, like, call you out for wanting to do the right thing. And it's like, right, you can either choose a path that's not sanctifying and do what you want anyway, or you can kind of, like, discern and die to yourself and kind of, like, accept that actually, in reality, this is what we're gonna do because it's not my will. Thank goodness. And I don't trust human beings to make all... Well, we make really terrible decisions all the time. We do. But that's another story.
In that office, can I ask you about your other, like, bachelor of wisdom?
Oh, yes. Yes. So, when I was in the MDiv, our program director, Stacy, who I adore, had 3 rules that she insisted we live by while we were graduate students. I mean, certainly there were other requirements and responsibilities, but primarily she asked that we operate in such a way that we were our own best advocate. That's number one. Right? So always share how you feel, of course, lovingly, but if you need to advocate for yourself, like, people aren't going to assume whatever is going on inside your head. Right, which I think is just universally applicable. So there's a way to step up for yourself, and it's not that you have to do it in a selfish way. I think, like, certain things, if you need them, you just need to, like, say what you need. And you know the difference between what you want and what you need. Calm down. The second one, and I'm gonna try to practice it right now, is to go gently. Right? That we're asked to be forgiving with ourselves and with others. And to treat ourselves gently because, it's not chapstick, honey, it's a cramp. Because sometimes we really need to love ourselves more than we're willing to. Right? And if you can't be gentle with yourself, how can we expect ourselves to be gentle with other people?
Yeah.
You know? And related to that is the third one, which is assume goodwill. Because especially with people who you don't get along with, it can be very easy to assume that someone is doing something deliberately to harm you. Right? And it's not that you... Right? Certainly if you discover that you're correct about... If that really were to be true, then, like, go be your own best advocate, right? But it's a damn shame to start there, if you will. Right? Because, like, no, like... Right? Motive isn't everything, but it's definitely something. And if a person, like... Even if that motive was entirely ignorant, like, they had no idea that you would be impacted in a particular way. Like, you can't really fault them in the same way. And there are varying degrees of culpability. And to assume goodwill on the part of someone else is to begin to love them and treat them like a human. You know? So, like, all of those things are important. And I still remember them, obviously. And I try to recall them, especially if I'm dealing with someone who I don't... I don't get along with very well. Right, because, like, it all kind of culminates in this idea that, like, we see God in other people. And that, like, everyone is made with dignity.
Which is very Catholic.
It is very Catholic, right? But, like, they're just not stated in such a way that they're obviously religious in any way, shape, or form.
It doesn't say God, but it says the things
no.
that we believe in.
Well, sometimes we don't need to say it.
Yeah.
In a way, right? Like... The cliche phrasing, like the cliche quote is from St. Francis, like, preach the gospel, unnecessary, use words, right? Like, I say that all the time, but, like, if folks really didn't believe that and acted that way, I think that Christians might be looked upon more kindly. I do, actually.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, my sweet dog. You want to go find Lucy?
Here she comes.
Sounds like a good idea.
Oh my God.